I got to turn all these on. Miss.
You can turn yourself on. The reader and I can turn ourselves on.
Okay. Senate will come to order. Roll call.
Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns. Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Elliott.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Meyer S.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Hines. 30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Veit. Do I need to turn him on? That's all I
have. Is that right? Some of you have given me personal prayer requests, and so I would just ask for a moment of silence first in considering all the personal prayer requests that are out there, and then I'll offer a prayer for justice today. Let us pray. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, especially here in the Senate chambers, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. Vice President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 17th, 2010, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day is Dr. B.J. Osbay of Cheyenne, Wyoming. There is no nurse for the day. And the thought for the day is, life is like a dog sled team. If you aren't the lead dog, the scenery never changes. House bills on first reading. House Bill 66, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 66, sponsored by Representative Libnow, Governmental Claims Acts Process, an act relating to the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, excuse 2.
Don't trust my coffee. House Bill 66, Governmental Claims Act, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Joint Resolution 2, first reading of the bill.
House Joint Resolution 2, sponsored by Representative Illaway. Resolution Assertion of States' Rights. A joint resolution demanding Congress cease and desist from enacting mandates that are beyond the scope of the enumerated powers granted to Congress by the Constitution of the United States. It passed the House, ayes 49, noes 9, excused 2.
House Joint Resolution 2 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Is it 5? Can you tell? Okay, sorry. It's referred to... House Joint Resolution 2 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Okay. House Bill 5, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 5, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Insurance Risk-Based Capital Revisions and Act Relating to Insurance. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 56, excused 2, conflict 2.
House Bill 5 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 6, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 6, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, County Officials, Administrative and Fiscal Duties, and Act Relating to County Officials. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 6 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 84, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 84, sponsored by Representative Bilkrey. Gold Star License Plates, an Act Relating to Motor Vehicles. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 53, noes 5, excused 2.
House Bill 84 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 65, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 65, sponsored by the Management Council, Revisors Bill, and Act Relating to Revision of Inadvertent Errors. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 65, Revisors Bill, is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. Reports from standing committees.
February the 18th, 2010, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 41, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cole, Massey, Sessions, Von Flatren. No, Senator Jennings, Senator Co-Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senate File 2, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 2, sponsored by the Management Council, Appropriations for the Legislature.
There is an amendment. The reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 2, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 9.
Senator, just a moment. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I move adoption of this amendment, and I will advise the chair does have a decline in decrease the appropriation, so it will require a roll call. What the amendment does, this is on the issue that I spoke to in committee of the whole yesterday on the way the NCSL has drifted into being a much more partisan organization, whereas before it had been a bipartisan organization. And it, the problems we've got with the organization are twofold. At least my experience at the most recent annual meeting was that the presentations no longer have a proper balance. They had been balanced. You'd hear a liberal point of view, and you'd hear a conservative point of view, and probably one or two in between on any of the individual presentations, which are often panels. Now it seems to be a liberal view and a moderate view, and the conservative view is simply unwelcome. And I think that's unfortunate. We need to hear, when we're gathering information, that sort of an organization, we need to hear the full spectrum of opinion. And the second problem is that instead of, they do have a lobbying operation in D.C., and it has stuck to things that most legislators are going to agree to, issues of state flexibility, issues of avoiding unfunded mandates, that kind of thing. And it has taken some very partisan positions in the past year. What this amendment does, Mr. Vice President, is it, the biggest thing it does is on page 2, line 13, it cuts the dues amount in half and puts the second year funding in a reserve. You'll see the language starting on line 28 of the amendment. So it would still show in the profile, but it would, to expend it, we'd have to have a further legislative appropriation. And that essentially putting the organization on warning that we're unhappy with them. The other thing the amendment does is it reduces out-of-state travel expenses and per diem and the registration amounts by approximately 10 trips, and it says if you're going to go to NCSL and you're not an officer in the organization, and we do have a couple of members, not in this house, in the other one, that are officers in the organization, and I think it would be a mistake for us to withdraw entirely. I think we'll give them a chance to reform their ways and hope that our officers can influence that. But the amendment says that for those of us who are not officers, we've got to go to the management council ahead in order to go at state expense. And my guess is that will cut down the number by about 10. So that's what the amendment does. It is eminently divisible if anybody wants to. I would urge its adoption.
Discussion on the amendment. Senators. Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I do. I participate in the Education Committee meeting, and I participate in the Workforce Development meeting, and I've listened to a lot of things. But I will tell you about a meeting that NCS held last spring. There were three of us that went, and it was legislative leadership. And what was so fascinating to me about that meeting, it was the leadership of all the legislatures. There was no partisanship at all. Those state leaders were terrified about what was happening in their states. And you talked and you visited, and I know that we sat there, said very little because of the shape our state is in compared to the other states. I think it's very sad to label everything as part of partisanship, whether it's right, left, middle, whatever it is. Because I do think what my experience was at that point in time and on the Education and Workforce Committee is people are trying to do the very best they can under their circumstances. And what bothers me, I guess, the most about a lot of this stuff, and it's both right and left, is that I will give a quote by David Gergen, and I think most of us know who He is. We see him on television all the time, and he worked for two different administrations, one to the right and one to the left, if that's how we're paraphrasing people in this body. And what he said at another meeting that we had was that what he has seen happen in this country, and he thinks maybe part of it might relate to the fact that many individuals no longer are part of the military, so that they learn what a nation is. Now, I paraphrase that part of it. But in essence, his exact words were, I think what has happened to this nation is that instead of an allegiance to a country and a nation, our allegiance is to a political party. And I've thought and thought about that. I have an individual in my district who is military, and he is very conservative, you know. Maybe he's to the right. But we have a lot of conversations, and I've talked to him a lot. I have two grandsons now. One is an Iraqi vet. One just joined the military and took his oath, the Navy, yesterday. Will go into SEAL training. Hopefully he wants to, they also offered him to go into aviation training. But what I'm telling you is this country has got to come back to an allegiance first to our nation. And I think we do a great disservice to the kids and the families out there that are trying to preserve this nation. And so if you disagree with a thought, stand up and say it in those meetings. You know, we all have different thoughts and different beliefs, but stand up and address it there. The last thing I will say is that every meeting I've ever gone to, I have learned so much from my fellow legislators and from speakers, and I've often wished that more people in our body would take advantage of this, because community colleges, whatever, public education, the experiences that I have had, I have learned an incredible amount of information about how we need to do things better in every instance. But anyway, I had to say that because I guess as one member of the minority in this state, I am sick and tired of the labeling and the fact that we are all citizens of this state and of our nation. And I think it's about time we tried to look at it like that. So thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion. Senator Von Flader.
I applaud the senator from Natrona County for bringing the amendment. I think the point needs to be made. But I have one question, and is that, can we pay one year at a time? That would be a question. And I can tell you from having attended some of the Transportation Committee meetings there, it really tends to be a small voice from the central part of the country, because the way the new appropriations are going from the feds, it does tend to put the money into the cities and mass transit. And so we need to be there. So I do hope we still participate. I just would like that question answered.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice President. You know, and I applaud the good senator from Laramie County for her comments. And, you know, and part of me was thinking, well, you know, I shouldn't stand up because we should, you know, if the points of view, or if they're so that dramatic away from what the populace or the majority here feel that NCSL should be doing, then if we're not going to participate, then, you know, our voice isn't going to get heard, and then that maybe lends itself better to, you know, the other side. But that's, you know, certainly a partisan type of attitude, and I definitely am one that does not ever embrace, you know, just a true partisanship where it should be working in the best interest of the people of this country. And what you saw reflected, because I was at the vote, I was at the same committee meeting that the good senator from Natrona County was, and what I saw was the leadership of this organization taking roll call votes from every state that wanted to participate. Now, what does that tell you if the majority of the states voted in favor of having them look at the health care? You know, there's an awful long, and this is a whole other topic for a whole other day, of what the reality is and what the truths are about what's happening with health care. The bottom line is, Mr. Chairman, I couldn't agree more that if we don't participate, if we're not there, your voice doesn't get heard. And if we're not there at the table, the only way to change things is to be there, participate, and stand up in a loud voice to say it. Now, I may not always agree with my good colleague from Natrona County, but I certainly respect when we have differences of opinion and move forward to try and change that. I think pulling us away from this would be a huge mistake. You know, this is I have tended to see some partisanship the other way in some of the meetings that I've attended. But you know, I think overall they try and do a balance, and they can only do as well as the membership allows them to do. And the membership is the membering states that tell the, or pretty much dictate to the leadership of what to do. So I'm on and against the amendment and think we should remain and participate with NCSL, go down there and make your voice heard and attend the meetings, and that's the only way we're going to make a difference.
Further discussion? Just a moment. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I share many of the concerns of the senator from rural Natrona County, but I have a concern of an unintended consequence of not. NCSL has a lot of good meetings. I have been to several that I may add the states does not have to pay for. They have many conferences which are not obligating the state to pay for that they invite various members to. I've been to several on energy, Denver, one in Tampa, Florida, to look at their power plants and so on. And anyway, they've been very good and very balanced in that particular field. I am concerned that if we do this, they will stop inviting any Wyoming legislators to those that they're paying for. And so I would like, if we could, to have a little concern maybe on the unintended consequences of them viewing Wyoming then as an outlier, and say, well, we don't need to invite them to any of these meetings that we're paying for. So it concerns me a little bit. Share your philosophy on their general conferences, but some of these special meetings, I think, have been very beneficial, and they're paying the bill.
Senator Geis?
Mr. Vice President, the way the NCSL works, everything has to pass. They have to have two-thirds of the majority of the states that are participating in there in order for one of these amendments or ideas to pass. So the last couple of years, I haven't been able to go on account of my wife, but you have to be there, and then the Wyoming delegation get together, and we decide how we're going to vote on it. So without the delegation there, well, then we're not going to be heard. So I would hope you'd turn this amendment down.
Further discussion before the good senator takes his second time. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, to answer question, yes, you can pay your dues 1 year at a time, which is what this contemplates. The states with an annual budget do that routinely, so that's no problem. And we did check with the LSO to make sure that we weren't causing mechanical problems in that process, and we're not. With regard to participating, this amendment contemplates that we will for now continue to participate. We're going to send people there. We're reducing the amount of money we're going to spend on it a bit. We're going to send less. They're going to have to get management council approval, so there's going to have to be some need for it, and I'm estimating that's going to cut the amount of travel down a bit. And then given our budget times, I think that's probably a good idea anyhow. I think that the practical consequence will not be that we get denied invitations to some of these other things. I think the practical consequence will be that they're going to get nervous because they want to continue to represent all the states. And what I'm hoping is that, you know, NCSL, Mr. Vice President, over the years has been extraordinarily valuable for us. And what's happened is that in the past few years, they have had quite a drift. And what I'm hoping is that by giving them a warning and by continuing to participate, which this amendment does contemplate, we will be able to reform them, not to come to any particular point of view, but to restore the balance that they have had. And in specific, I hope they will recognize that it's a mistake to try to use their lobbying resources to push, and it's health care that raised my concern. They were endorsing one of the extreme reform proposals that hopefully is now dead, may not be, but not something that the majority of either the Senate or the people of Wyoming are in favor of. So I would hope you would adopt the amendment, give them a warning, continue to participate, which is what the amendment contemplates, Mr. Vice President.
The question has been called for, and this amendment does require a roll call vote. Roll call.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson? Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer-S?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines? Closing vote? Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 2 has failed. Senate File 2 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 7, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 7, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, Rangeland Health Assessment.
We have some amendments. The reading clerk will read second reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 7, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 12.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. Vice President, this follows on the discussion on this bill in Committee of the Whole yesterday. We've got around the state a number of these long-term grazing enclosures that were set up by the University of Wyoming in the 50s and 60s. They've been there now 50, 60 years, depending. A few of them are a little more recent than that, but most of them, they've been there long enough to really give us some meaningful data. And it's been my personal observation, the ones I've seen, is that it appears that the rangeland inside the exposure, which has had grazing effectively removed from it, is either of poorer quality than the rangeland that has been grazed right outside the fence, or is of relatively equal quality. I'm not sure, if you look at it statistically across all of them, which of those is going to be true. In either case, I think it would give us very good ammunition as we get into disputes with those of us who would shut the industry down. And there are those out there who would do that and are trying to use the federal regulations as a weapon there. This would give us very good information in dealing with them. The amendment goes into the section where the director is authorized to contract with the University of Wyoming and others, so they wouldn't have to do it, and I suspect if they did, they would do it in stages. It does exempt them from the provisions of subsection A, which really don't apply here, because these are not, they're not leased out for grazing, they're exposures. So that's what the amendment does. It's seeking to get us some more information, and it leaves up to the director what the balance of this versus other projects ought to be. I would urge its adoption.
Further discussion, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I think the bill does this, but if this body wants to make it more precise, vote for the amendment.
Further discussion? You ready for the question? Question has been called on Senator Scott's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Second reading amendment number 1. I mentioned Committee of the Whole. I apologize. Second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. There's another amendment, second reading amendment number 2. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 7, second reading amendment number 2, page 5, line 16.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 7, and of course this requires a roll call vote. Mr. Vice President, we talked at length about this yesterday, and there was a lot of good discussion. We talked about the FNRPA, the Federal Natural Resource Policy account, and the importance of that account and how many counties use it. We also had some great discussion about if you're going to do a program, you ought to step up. If you like it, it ought to come out of the general fund. Mr. Vice President, that's what this amendment does. It puts the FNRPA money back into the FNRPA account, leaves it there for those uses it's so designated, and takes the money out of the general fund.
Discussion? Question's been called on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 7, and it requires a roll call vote. Roll call.
Anderson. Aye. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geist.
Aye.
Hastert. Honeycutt, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Martin, Massey, Meyer, Meyer-S, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Schiffer, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Von Flatron, President Hines. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 7 is passed. Senate File 7. Having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 13, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 13, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, Economic Analysis.
Senate File, yes, Senator Bebout.
Mr. Vice President, excuse me. Mr. Vice President, I move that we lay that bill back till tomorrow.
I'm not sure. Do we have to take a vote on that? Is there any objection to laying the bill back till tomorrow? Hearing no objection, Senate File 13 will be laid back for second reading tomorrow. Senate File 27, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 27, sponsored by Senator Case, Government Competition.
Senate File 27, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 34, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 34, sponsored by Senator Escobel, continuation of insurance coverage.
Senate File 34, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 39, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 39, sponsored by the Education Committee, Post-Secondary Education Options Program.
Senate File 39, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 57, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 57, sponsored by C. Meyer, Telephone Solicitation Cell Phones.
Senate File 57, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 74, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 74, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Subdivisions Parcels.
Senate File 74, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 75, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 75, sponsored by Senator Nicholas, School District Health Insurance 2.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 75, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 22.
Senator Massey.
Just a moment. In front of the Appropriations Committee. We learned that for many school districts, we learned that many school districts cover retirees along with the active educators in their district. And yet there's no provision in the bill that if that school district were to choose to join the state system, that the state system would cover the retirees along with the other folks who are actively working with the district. The head of the state employee's insurance account at that time indicated that that would not be a problem, but again, there was no authorization in the bill. This amendment simply provides that authorization to cover the retirees if they are part of an existing plan that the school district has and that they're moving away from to come into the plan. And then likewise, if they choose later on to leave, they'll have to leave with their retirees as well. The wording we ran the wording by the director of the state account. He helped with the wording of the amendment that you see in front of you and indicated that there would be no fiscal impact if we were to adopt this amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Question's been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 75, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment has been adopted. Senate File 75, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 78, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 78, sponsored by Senator Burns, Illegal Fish Stocking.
Senate File 78, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. Vice President. The third reading consent list is as follows. Senate File 32, Wyoming Investment in Nursing Extension. Senate File 35, Tolling Authority for I-80. Senate File 36, Gillette Madison Water Project. Senate File 56, Fuel Tax Bonds. Senate File 62, Veterans Burial. Senate File 64, Safety Belt Violations 2. Senate File 69, Natural Resource Large Project Funding. Senate File 71, Disposal of Remains Military Personnel. Senate File 72, Wyoming Retirement Plan Contributions. And finally, Mr. Vice President, Senate File 76, State Loan and Investment Grants Criteria.
Consent list for today is Senate File 32, Wyoming Investment. Senator Meyer?
Oh, yeah. Can we lay back Senate File 50 without objection?
Is there any objection to laying back Senate File 50? Yeah. Not on the consent list.
Oh, okay. All right.
Senator Cooper.
For a day. Oh, okay.
Let me read. May I read the consent list first and then?
You bet.
Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. Third reading consent list is as follows. Senate File 32, Wyoming Investment in Nursing Extension. Senate File 35, Tolling Authority for I-80. Senate File 36, Gillette Madison Water Project. Senate File 56, Fuel Tax Bonds. Senate File 62, Veterans Burial. Senate File 64, Safety Belt Violations 2. Senate File 69, Natural Resource Large Project Funding. Senate File 71, Disposal of Remains, Military Personnel. Senate File 72, Wyoming Retirement Plan Contributions 2. And Senate File 76, State Loan and Investment Criteria. Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Senator Cooper.
Mr. Vice President. Is it not? Senate File 35, Mr. Vice President.
Senate File 35 is removed from the consent list. Any? Don't look at him, is right.
Yeah, that's it.
Anybody else have any gear that they want to put on? Thank you, Mr. Senator Case. Thank you. Anybody else want a bill removed from the consent list? 50 is removed. So, consent list is as follows. Senate File 32, Senate File 35, Senate File 36, Senate File 56, Senate File 62, Senate File 64, Senate File 69, Senate File 71, and Senate File 72, and Senate File 76. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these be bills pass? The Senate Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt, Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey. Meyer. Meyer-S. Nicholas. Perkins. Peterson. Ross. Schiffer. Scott. Sessions. Townsend. Von Flatern. President Hines. On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 32. Are there any changes? Case, I to no. Schiffer, I to no. Dockstader, I to no. Meyer, I to no. Perkins, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 32. 25 ayes, 5 noes. Senate File 36. Are there any changes? Case, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 36. 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 56. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 56. 30 ayes. Senate File 62. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. 62. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 62. 30 ayes. Senate File 64. Are there any changes? Bebout, I to no. Perkins, I to no. Meyer, I to no. Townsend, I to no. Coe, I to no. Burns, I to no. Case, I to no. Peterson, I to no. Anderson, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 64, 21 ayes, 9 noes. Senate File 69, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 69, 30 ayes. Senate File 71, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 71, 30 ayes. Senate File 72, are there any changes? Honeycutt, I to no. Johnson, I to no. Sessions, I to no. Hastert, I to no. Esquivel, I to no. Martin, I to no. Meyer S, I to no. Massey, I to no. Landon, I to no. Elliot, I to no. Cooper, I to no. Dockstader, I to no.
Ross, I to no.
Ross, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 72, 17 ayes, 13 noes. Senate File 76, are there any changes? Schiffer, I to no. President Hines, aye to no.
Massey,
aye to no.
Geis,
aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Sessions, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Meyer S., aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 76. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 32, Senate File 36, Senate File 56, Senate File 62, Senate File 64, Senate File 69, Senate File 71, Senate File 72 have passed the Senate. Senate File 76, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 76 has failed to pass the Senate. Senate File 35, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 35, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Tolling Authority for I-80, an act relating to highways, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Members of the Senate, I'd just like to take this opportunity to try to maybe fire one more volley across the bow of this bill, if I could. In considering this bill, you have to ask yourself the question whether we need to pay $350,000 to begin with to ask the feds whether or not we can do this. And not only that, whether or not we can do it, but we have to ask them how we can do it and whether or not we can exempt certain entities or certain persons from having to pay this toll if it should take effect. You know, this legislature has shown that it's acted on its own volition in many cases when it comes to the feds. And there are several examples of that we could look to. And yet, it seems like in this particular instance, and on this bill, what we're doing is we're going right back to the old habits and saying, may I, feds, do this? It's interesting to note that we're having this difficult time finding out from the feds answers to questions we have about a highway that we largely support in our own state. You know, why do we have to do that? And it's a crazy idea to have to keep going back to the feds to find this. We need to take back that opportunity again and start asking questions rather than have to pay for the privilege of having to know answers to questions. And that's what this bill does. It's actually paying $350,000 just for the privilege of finding out some answers from the feds. And that's absurd as far as I'm concerned. Yes, I'm concerned about the damage that's caused by the many trucks that travel down that highway. I realize there's not a lot of economic remuneration that we get from those trucks going down that road, but we do get some from them. But what we're doing is we're trying to take care of one problem, it seems like to me, it appears to me, and punish our own citizens and residents of our state. Or we could, I guess, because I realize this bill is only asking for a study. But the fact of the matter is, in the study, we're saying, oh, may I please not have to impose this toll upon maybe some of the residents of our state who need to use that highway. Now, I realize some of you who live far away from the interstates and so forth probably may not have as much concern as we, the folks that I have that live along that I-80. And that is a big concern to them. No other state that I know of in this area, and maybe the sponsor or the committee can address this, has tolling on a public roads in the western United States. We have private tolling roads, that's true. But I don't know that there are states that are penalizing or trying to toll their own citizens in their state for public roads. I'm not aware of that. At least here, I'm talking about basically in the western Rocky Mountain states. So they have private roads in Colorado that are tolled roads. And that is true. And there's other states that have toll roads also that are private roads. But it's amazing that we're able to do or want to do it in our state. The people in our state, I don't think, are ready for this tolling procedure. And I don't believe they want it. And I've heard from my constituents that very fact. And I think we need to defeat this bill. And we need to look at it from a different angle. If we want to get questions from the feds, why can't we just ask them for questions? Say, hey, we have a plan. We have this plan to maybe run a procedure to toll this highway. I realize that we need to tack probably some basis for establishing maintenance on that road. But the fact of the matter is we have two other interstates. We have I-25, we have I-90. It costs just as much to maintain I-25 and I-90 as it probably does to maintain I-80. Maybe a little less in some cases, but the fact of the matter is the cost per mile is the same. So why aren't they included? So I ask you to defeat the bill.
Further discussion? Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Not that any of you expected me to stand up for this, but the good senator from the Southwest, you know, he didn't really misspeak on any of those points. I will tell you that the public road, the private roads he speaks of in the West that are tolled are actually public roads. They're under a public-private partnership, which we brought up once in Transportation Committee, and I realized what stoning meant. So that subject died quickly, but this isn't going there at all. Let's keep our eye on the ball. We've got a road that's not in great shape. We want to do something with it. We want to improve it, not only maintain it, but improve it. You know, the first thing that anybody, when they talk about I-80, is how horrible it is to drive it, to get stuck in the trucks and the snow and you can't see, and the ruts and the two dips you have, the main ruts down the lane that have been put there by very heavy trucks running on it. So we want to not only maintain it, we want to improve it. Well, we don't have the money. Here's your choices. And the good senator from Teton County said this quite well. You can raise the fuel tax, and you'd have to raise it a lot, 20, 25 cents. You know how 10 cents and a nickel didn't get very far anywhere in these, either, well, in that body, but even discussed in committee, it didn't make it. You could take general fund dollars. You know, we have some stashed away. I mean, if you want to go a couple $100 million a year, $100 million a year and just dedicate it to I-80, fine, there's your other choice. Or you can let the road deteriorate. You have one other choice. That's possibly tolling, but really, the other choice is to get the federal government to give us another $50 to $100 million a year that we can put on that road. Maintain it, improve it, make it safe for our citizens. Well, they've pretty much ignored us, and this new appropriation that'll start in the next year doesn't even contain that. It gives it to mass transit, urban congestion. We don't qualify. We'll see less money. We'll see the minimum we have today, and inflation has eaten that minimum up. So this is an option. But remember, we don't know any of the answers. And the reason, I wish the good senator has a point. I wish we could just say, you know, federal government, here's our plan, let's go with it. But you have to remember that they have states throwing scenarios at them all the time, and they've established rules and regulations that say only authorized by the legislature, tolling authorities can come and ask questions, and we'll give them good answers, straight answers that they can write down as a plan. Once again, this bill just says, let's give them that authority, send them off, get the questions answered. Sorry it costs money. Everything costs money these days. But that's the only way we'll get the answers. Doesn't start tolling today. It just says they can come back with scenarios, and we can decide then whether to toll at all, what the impacts are. Yes, no, do it this way, do it that way. But until this bill passes, you'll never know. One other thing I'd like to leave you with. I think it's the fiduciary responsibility of our office to always explore all the possibilities on how we can finance our roads, our infrastructure. And when we don't explore that, I think we're lacking in following through with what we were elected to do. If the answers come back and the constituents do not like the answers, it goes away. I think it's our responsibility to at least explore that possibility. I ask you to vote for this bill.
Further discussion?
Question?
Question's been called. I am sorry. Senator Cooper.
For my second time, I appreciate the good senator, his comments from Campbell County, but my concern is more than anything, and some of you have gotten several emails on the issue, but I worry that we're trying to kind of drive this down on the people of the state of Wyoming, and I don't know that they're ready for it or want it, and that is one of my basic concerns also. So it's these other things, but it's that too. We may have a fiduciary responsibility, as mentioned by the good senator from Campbell County, but we also have a responsibility to select and elect and to vote on those things that are a major concern to our people. Yes, major concern of the maintenance of the highway, but not necessarily to drive it home to them to a point where they really don't want it.
Question's been called. Senate File 35, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin? Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer-S,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing, vote closed, 18 ayes, 12 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 35 has passed the Senate. Senate File 50, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 50, sponsored by Senator Scott, Hospital Privileges, an act relating to hospital privileges for health care providers. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. The reading clerk will please read the amendment. Senator Meyer.
Without objection, I'd like to withdraw that amendment and lay the bill back until tomorrow.
Any objection to the withdrawal of the amendment? That amendment's been withdrawn. Is there any objection to laying this bill back to tomorrow for third reading? Hearing no objection, Senate File 50 is laid back until third reading tomorrow. Considerations of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
President, Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried. Senator Jennings.
First bill for our consideration is Senate File 52. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 52, sponsored by Senator Cole, Reduce Cigarette Ignition Propensity, an act relating to fire safety and prevention. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, C. Meyer, Nicholas Peterson, Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Larson?
When the Committee of the Whole rise and report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 52, Reduced Cigarette Ignition Propensity. I wanted to say that word one last time. And, Mr. Chairman, there is an amendment, and I ask that the amendment be read in at this time.
Senate File 52, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 15, line 17.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and for explanation of both the bill and the amendment, I would refer to the expert on propensity, Senator Coe.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I am the expert. Make no mistake about it. Members of the Senate, Senate File 52 creates the Wyoming Reduced Cigarette Ignition Propensity Act. And it's modeled after the laws that all 49 other states and the District of Columbia have passed. Wyoming is the only state to not have this statute on the books. What the bill does, it prohibits the sale of non-fire safe cigarettes in the state. It has support from the National Fire Protection Association, the Wyoming State Fire Marshal's Office, local firefighters, and others throughout the state. There are over 300 manufacturers selling cigarettes in Wyoming. And this is an important safeguard against Wyoming becoming a dumping ground for non-fire safe cigarettes. The bill funds itself through a fee on cigarette manufacturers and therefore does not need an appropriation. Now, that's not totally true. As we get to the amendment, we'll see what we're talking about here. But the fees that are generated will offset that appropriation. To walk you through the bill quickly, page 2, 3 and 4, 359802 provides the various industry standard definitions that conform to existing Wyoming definitions for cigarettes. On page 5, 359803 is through the top of page of 11 is where the real meat of the bill is. The first thing it does is prohibit the sale of cigarettes in Wyoming unless the cigarettes have been tested and met the required performance standards set forth in the following pages. Testing must be done in accordance with the American Society of Testing Materials standard. It also provides the state fire marshal some flexibility to utilize testing standards applied in other states. On page 11, 359804 requires manufacturers to certify in writing to the state fire marshal that their products are compliant with the performance standards required in 359803. Beginning on page 14, 359805 requires cigarettes sold in Wyoming to be labeled with the letters FSC, indicating they are fire-safe cigarettes. On page 14, 359806 creates penalties for noncompliance. 359807 grants the Department of Revenue inspection and enforcement authority. On page 18, 359808 creates the RCIP standard account to receive the certification fees and subject to appropriation may be expended on fire safety and prevention programs. On page 19, 35909 provides a manufacturing exemption for products not sold in Wyoming. Also on page 19, 359810 preempts local law, ordinance, or regulation from conflicting with this act. 359811 talks about the construction of the act. Page 20 preempts local governments from enacting laws or ordinances. And page 20 sets the effective date as of July 1st, 2011. Mr. Chairman, the Standing Committee Amendment goes in on page 15. We had some concerns from the retailers out there that the maximum penalty of $25,000 was too high. With the Standing Committee Amendment, we lowered that to $10,000. I try to answer questions on the Standing Committee Amendment and urge its adoption.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 on Senate File 52, please say aye. Opposed, nay. The Standing Committee Amendment has passed. Back on the bill.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just to talk about the fiscal note a little bit. It is estimated that the fees that could be collected from this would approach $250,000. That certification has to take place every 3 years. What you'll see in the fiscal note is you'll see $20,000 in fiscal year 2012 and $20,000 in 2013. That's so the Department of Revenue, I know this is interesting, can go out and buy cigarettes so they can send them off for testing. At least that was the discussion we had. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. I try to answer questions.
There is a committee of the whole amendment. Would the clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 52, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 13, line 12.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 52 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill didn't have an appropriation when it came to us, and there was no way that we could reduce the appropriation. The total cost for this program, the maximum cost was $28,000 a year. This license certification fee, it happens every 3 years, and the fiscal note indicated that there would be $250,000 worth of income coming off of that, where the amendment would drop that down to $100,000 worth of income coming off of that certification. And that would be more than enough to handle the program. There is an account that this money goes to over on page 18. It basically says that if there's any money left over subject to legislative appropriation, it can be made available to support fire safety and prevention programs. Mr. Chairman, this really kind of gets back into earmarking. I think if we wanted to raise the fee or keep the fee at $250, we probably should have put it in the general fund. I've elected to reduce the fee. This account would probably have somewhere between $10,000 to $15,000 in it. Thereabouts after a few number of years that could be used for those programs, but it's not going to raise the $150,000 that the original bill intended. There has been some testimony that most states are charging that $250 fee, but it's really not necessary to cover the provisions of this act. And so I guess to keep from trying to get in the earmarking business again and to structure the account to where it's self-funding but not overfunding, I offer this amendment and ask for your favorable consideration.
Questions on the amendment? Senator Coe.
Pretty much across the country is $250. If this body decides they want to lower that to $100, that's fine. I have no objection to it. I will say the other states are charging like $250. Vote it up or vote it down.
Any additional questions on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 on Senate File 52, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say nay.
No.
That amendment has failed. Back on the bill. Seeing no... Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question from my colleague from Park County, and I think it may require just a simple amendment, but on page 2, lines 16 and 17, as I read that, it says, any roll of tobacco wrapped in paper or in any substance not containing tobacco, is the intent that anything you roll would be considered a cigarette, whether it's got tobacco or not. If that's the intent, I think a simple amendment would correct that. It's a little misleading.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's, you know, some members of this body that probably roll their own out in the smoking lounge. I don't know about that, but I think it does talk about the paper being the same quality. These cigarettes have little bands on them that they burn from band to band. And I think, really, if you're going to roll your own out there, I think you've got to buy the right paper.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I'm trying to understand exactly why we're doing this bill. And Mr. Chairman, if I can be allowed to speak. I mean, Mr. Chairman, does anybody actually make cigarettes for the Wyoming market? I mean, is this actually going to change the way any cigarettes are made? I've heard that argument. You know, it seems like a lot of money to create a lot of bureaucracy when, as near as I can understand, this might be a big cigarette company versus little cigarette company issue that we're wading into the middle of here. Or, you know, if the standards are already set by 49 states and this whole system of charging this money, I mean, nobody's going to make cigarettes for our market, I don't think. But really, I'm worried about the health effects of this, because how do you make a cigarette not burn so bright? Do you have to spray some chemical on it? And if we had cigarettes with chemicals, they might hurt somebody, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and to try to answer the question, my understanding is that probably 60% of the manufacturers out there right now are producing these type of cigarettes. So it's not something that would put it against competition in the Wyoming market. To talk about why I think this legislation is important, I think this legislation has the potential to save lives. There was a case in downtown Cheyenne here about maybe 6-7 weeks ago where a guy died in a motel room down there because of smoking. In one of the cases I had in my 23 years on Cody Fire, on Christmas Eve morning in 1979, we lost an 8-year-old girl and her father in a trailer house because of smoking. So the real issue here, I think, is the safety. I think this bill has the potential, by conforming with what else is going on out there, to save lives out there potentially. So I'd urge you to support the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Larson's motion on Senate File 52, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate File 52 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 48. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 48, sponsored by Senator Johnson, Licensure of Midwives, an Act Relating to Professions and Occupations. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. It reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senator Honeycutt, Schiffer, and Scott. No, Senators Hastert and Landon. Senator Scott, Chairman.
It was re-referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriation. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, C. Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 48 do pass. Mr. Chairman, what we would like to do is explain the bill and then come back and read in the Standing Committee Amendment and move that at that time. So at this time, I would like to yield this to the sponsor of the bill, Senator Johnson, for an explanation.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that all of us remember last year when Senate File 141 passed the Senate, 28 ayes, 2 noes, and then disappeared down at the other end of this floor. Originally, I sponsored the bill at the request of several groups here in Laramie County whose religious and or cultural beliefs require home births during normal births. Since then, many, many citizens and groups and organizations from throughout the state have joined them, and these people that have joined them are from every county in the state. Now, this bill emphasizes normal births, where there are potential problems, and they know that there are problems. The births go to the hospital where we have the trained obstetricians who spend their residencies working on difficult births. These mothers are not sick. These mothers are not hurt. There's nothing broken. Babies have been born for millenniums as a normal process of life. And as research identifies better practices, the licensed midwives become aware of these practices and use them. After it failed last year, Senate File 48 was worked on by a committee of legislators and interested parties from all parts of the state and from all groups. And this was the product that they came up with just prior to the legislature starting. We have some amendments during that came out of the committee, and I like the saying, a good bill is always made better by the amendment process, and then we do have a committee of the whole amendments. So diving into the bill and explaining it quickly, we have definitions on page 2 and 3. The bill creates a board of midwifery. It establishes it to regulate the practice of midwifery in the state to ensure the safety of women and newborn children receiving care from licensed midwives. There's an extensive list of requirements on page 5 and 6. I know you have all read them, such as the midwife has graduated from a midwifery education program, accredited council, or other recognized and accepted accrediting agency, passed the written exam of the North American Registry of Midwives. And in addition to this, the board may use their rules and regulation abilities to provide for a different exam or add to those requirements. They have to complete a practicum or course of practical experience, meeting the requirements established, completed a personal interview with the board if the board requires it, and they can't provide material false or misleading information, and they cannot have been convicted of a crime that renders the person unfit to practice midwifery. We have an area in there where out-of-state midwives who are qualified under our statutes may license in this state. And we have several that are waiting to do so in Colorado, Utah, and Idaho. It's a 2-year license. Right now, the board members are 5, but that's going to change, I hope. There's areas on revocation of licenses, appeals, penalties. They've got to have a criminal background check. Now, you wonder what happens if a birth goes wrong and the mother and baby have to go to the hospital. What liabilities do the hospital and the medical providers there have? If you read page 16, line 6 on,
you will find out they have no liability as long as while they are taking care of the problem that happened, essentially under negligence by the midwife. Mr. Chairman, it's time for this bill and this law in Wyoming, and rather than belabor it anymore, I would yield the floor to the good chairman of the Labor Committee to explain Standing Committee Amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Chairman, there was Standing Committee Amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Senate File 48, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 12.
Mr. Chairman, move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, I just want to add a little bit to the history you heard. The bill was not defeated down the hall last year. It got heard at length in committee and worked till late in the night, and then the committee chairman wouldn't bring it to a vote. So we have no idea what the judgment was down there. Mr. Chairman, it was worked over the summer, but when it came to our committee, it was clearly contentious again. And we worked with the contending parties. Mr. Chairman, I would like to publicly commend the representatives of the midwives and the representative of the medical, but they were both trying to be constructive and see that we had a bill that met their principal concerns. And it's, Mr. Chairman, it's a lot easier to work things out when the contending parties take that kind of an attitude. And let me explain the amendment, which is in part a product of that process. The first item, we're tightening up the kind of education program that you have to have in order to be a midwife. The provision was tightened up from what was introduced and requires that the students go to a program that's accredited. There's a number of these. I forget whether it's 7 or 9 around the country. None of them close. Their testimony last year was they were two and a quarter year programs. They're very effective. The problem the midwives had was that they aren't any right handy here. And initially, we're going to have great difficulty getting any graduates to come to Wyoming from those programs. So the compromise that was reached, it's in the Standing Committee Amendment, is that we can substitute 5 years practical experience in a state that licenses midwives. And that was an agreeable compromise. And the other part of that compromise is on first page of the amendment, lines 19 through 25, where they have to provide evidence of some specific courses that are very important to the practice of midwifery. And you can see that there. The second item in the amendment, we tightened up the requirement they be certified by the North American Registry. Was suggested by the Medical Society and agreed to by the various contending parties. We did put a provision in that any rules and regulations on scope of practice had to be consistent with the scope and the definition in the bill. That's the item on line 35 on page 1. There was a question over notice of liability insurance, and the language that was there seemed to imply they had to have it. They typically don't. So we added the words or notice that the midwife does not carry liability insurance. And then there was concern, Mr. Chairman, if something goes wrong in a birth, it can go very wrong very rapidly. And you have to transport in a hurry. And the next part of the amendment starts the bottom page 1 and carries through to the line 19 on page 2, is making them think out ahead of time what kind of information they're having, what they're going to transmit to the hospital instantly when they do have to send somebody to the hospital. And that will enable the hospital to be prepared when the, excuse me, woman or baby or both of them arrive in the emergency room. I think that's important. And then the next item is we're trying to set a protocol for the management of newborns. So they've thought out ahead of time what they're going to do if they get respiratory distress or some other serious, probably unexpected illness in the newborn, and that we get compliance with our screening requirements, hearing screening, metabolic screening requirements. This is relatively easy to do. Colorado does it without any trouble with the midwives. It's something, though, that you've got to make sure that they do. And the director of the Department of Health came to committee and requested that, and requested that there be compliance with the vital records requirements. That's the amendment you see in the middle of page 2. And then there's a requirement, a fair amount of renumbering in the process of this, but there's a requirement on line 36 and page 2, where we're warning midwives to report the outcomes. That's really a precaution, I suspect, as time goes by and we see their outcomes are, in fact, safe. We will no longer need that, but we're putting it in there now. There's a technical correction or two. And then the final item is the membership in the board, Mr. Chairman. It came in with a 5-member board with a provision that it was either going to be a certified nurse midwife on it or a medical doctor physician on it. The medical society was very strong in thinking that there ought to be a physician on it. And in fact, Mr. Chairman, this has been helpful on a number of the other boards. The midwives were fine with that, but they wanted to retain the possibility of a certified nurse midwife. And that would be very useful professional advice for this board. And they wanted to retain the majority of midwives on it. So that's why the board is increased to 7, so that we can accommodate all those desires. And then the rest of the amendment conforms the term staggering provision to that. Mr. Chairman, that's a quick explanation of the Standing Committee Amendment. I urge its adoption.
Questions on the Standing Committee Amendment? Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a fast question, and maybe it'll require a fast explanation. When you, on page 4, when you took out those small letters in 4, and this is for the licensing of an original midwife, when they first apply for the license, you took those out. But then over on page 5, the board may endorse, license any person as a midwife who applies any, may by endorsement license any person who does this. Now, is one for new midwives and one for people who already come in with a licensure? And why did you take out, like, fingerprinting and you took out on fingerprinting, but then over here there is fingerprinting. So please tell me, is one for a person who is already licensed and is one for a new licensee, or does it matter?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I think there's a little confusion there. When you look carefully at what we did, we took out on page 4, we took out the first two items and rewrote them with the language you see in the Standing Committee Amendment that actually tightened them up a bit. We did not take out any of the fingerprinting requirements. We simply renumber the paragraphs because of inserting the new paragraph V. And so that those requirements are the same whether you're licensing by endorsement or not. And the endorsement language is a very standard reciprocal kind of a thing where you bring in somebody who's from a state that has got requirements that are as stringent as ours and you don't put them through the full new licensing again. So we didn't take out anything there of substance. We just strengthened some of them.
Any additional questions on the Standing Committee Amendment number one? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion on Standing Committee Amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Standing Committee Amendment number one has passed. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, there's a Standing Committee of the Whole Amendment. There's a Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, and then a shorter Committee of the Whole Amendment number two. Unless somebody has questions in the body of the bill, I suggest we go to those at this time.
Would the clerk please read Committee of the Whole Amendment number one?
Senate File 48, Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, page 9, line 18.
Senator Hassert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole Amendment number one to Senate File 48 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, as described before, this bill has taken on quite a journey over the years. We started out with looking at lay midwifery, and that was pretty well voted down. And then we came up, the committee and others had looked at different options of licensure that came through last year. And I've had a lot of concerns over this, shared some of the medical societies. I have a relative in our state to the south that is a certified nurse midwife and had with 40 years experience. And through a lot of discussion, a lot of work through not only the midwives and the medical society, this amendment basically, in essence, is what they call a scope of practice. And this is a lot of this is comes from what Idaho has looked at and put into their statutes. I also found that putting a scope of practice isn't uncommon in our statutes. Mr. Chairman, we brought a similar amendment into committee that was voted down, and rightfully so. There was a lot of discussion. There were some things in that amendment that needed to be worked on, and I'm happy to say that here again, all parties concerned, the midwives and the medical society and all, and some of the legislators came together and with the document that you now see as the committee of the whole. Simply, this is just a scope of practice. It kind of outlines some of the do's and don'ts for the midwives. It gives a level of safety and protections in the statutes that, frankly, everybody has a comfort level with. And with that, I'll just stand for questions.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole Amendment number one has passed the Committee of the Whole. Senator Scott.
Chairman, this is the second Committee of the Whole Amendment I ask to be read in this time.
Senate File 48, Standing Committee, Committee of the Whole Amendment 2, page 13, line 12.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2. Mr. Chairman, this is just a cleanup from what the Standing Committee did in changing the membership of the board. We thought we were removing this particular sentence that this amendment removes because it doesn't apply anymore. Somehow that did not make it to the Standing Committee amendment, and this just corrects that. I urge its adoption.
Questions on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2, please say aye. Opposed, nay. Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 is passed. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, just one word on the bill. I think this bill represents a significant improvement. It is almost a textbook example of how contending groups on the outside can come together in the legislative process and work something out that meets the real concerns that each side has and gets you something that will work for the citizens of Wyoming and that will work for all the parties at interest here. And again, I want to commend both the proponents and the opponents for being positive in working this bill out.
Any additional questions on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 48, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate File 48 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 54, sponsored by the Management Council, Confirmation of Appointments, and Act Relating to Senate Confirmation of Gubernatorial Appointments.
Heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, President Hines?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 54, Confirmation of Appointments.
Mr. President, I cut off the clerk. Could we please let him finish?
Senate File 54 was sent to Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, Hines, Massey, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Hines, Chairman.
Thank you, President Hines. It's been read and moved. Would you please proceed?
Mr. Chairman, Senate File 54 is what came to our attention, and we think it needs to be corrected. It has to do when the governor sends his appointments to this body, and the current law that we work under says there's five days. And, of course, it doesn't distinguish between working days. And by the Constitution, you know, we cannot work on Sunday. So it can create a problem by when the list is given to us with the committees. If any of your committees want to question some of the nominees, it cuts their time down. Like I said in committee, you may only have 3 days, and you have to do it by Friday night, or else I could call you back in on Saturday. And I don't assume that's the best plan to make. So by changing this, I think it would give us a little more time and work better. And I would point out that virtually everywhere where we have appointments, it is listed legislative working days or any time we have a direction on how much time we have to do work. You know, one example, we have legislative working days for cutoffs and for working bills during the budget session and things like this. So this simply would make this law consistent with the rest, and I ask for your support.
Questions on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Hines' motion to want the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 54, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, nay. Senate File 54 is passed Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and set again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye. Against, nay. Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. We have reports from standing committees.
February the 18th, 2010, Mr. President, your Committee Number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 67, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott. No, Senator Case, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 18th, 2010, Mr. President, your Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 7, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 18th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 16, engrossed, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, Jennings, Massey, Sessions, and Von Fladen, Senator Cole, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate be at recess until 1:30. And, Mr. Vice President, today's a very special day. We're going to have salad by committee. And so with that, I would hope that you would enjoy, and I would hope that the 1:30 time would give those people that have other obligations time to meet that. Also, let's give these noon committees, revenue being one, kind of the right-of-way to the salad bar so they can go right back to work so we can have bills for Monday.
You've heard the motion that we stand at recess until 1:30. Their announcements. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Vice President, your revenue committee number 3 will meet in about 30 minutes up in room S16 to take up House Bill 22, Streamlined Sales Use Tax Amendments.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Vice President, just a notice that your number 1 committee, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, February 19th at 8 a.m. in room S1 to consider the following bills: House Bill 13, Underage Drinking; House Bill 12, Juvenile Detention Facilities, Admission Criteria; House Bill 4, Criminal Procedure, Time Limits for Competency Evaluations.
Senator Geis.
Your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, Water Resource, will meet upon adjournment tonight to handle House Bill 2, Veterinarians, and House Bill 46, Omnibus Water Bill Planning.
Senator, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Just one quick announcement so that folks kind of know what to plan on. I'm anticipating an early take up tomorrow morning, like 9:30, with the hopes that we can have an early adjournment. Hopes. So with that, we have one more Senate file to be heard. I think that'll be, I don't know if it's been read in or not. We'll put it up at Senate File 67. That'll be our Senate file. And so we're looking good. But I understand. I think we're all getting a little tired, and I appreciate that because you've been working hard. So we'll work for an early adjournment if we can. So 9:30 tomorrow morning will be the motion later.
You heard the motion that the Senate stand in recess until 1:30. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate's in recess.